11, verse 26, which is the beginning of our Torah portion today. The Torah portion is Re'eh, and what's interesting about where we are in Deuteronomy right now with the children of Israel, you know, in the wilderness, getting prepared to go into the promised land, what we have is in the next three parshas, in the next three Torah portions, we have the largest section of the commandments. You know how the commandments, there's 613 commandments, it's been codified. That's the number of positive and negative commandments combined in the Torah. The bulk of the commandments, or I would say the largest section of those commandments, are found in the next three Torah portions. And specifically in this parsha, Re'eh, all of the commandments, all of the Torah commandments are put into perspective. Remember, the Torah commandments are our instructions of how to live. They're our guide for how to be in the presence of a holy God. How to live our lives, how to think, how to act, how to do, how to be. We wouldn't know about God if he didn't give us his word. Well, thankfully, he's given us his word. He hasn't left us in the dust. He hasn't left us to figure it out ourselves. He's given us his instructions, his Torah, his standard of how to live. And Re'eh, in a way, puts all of these commandments into perspective. The new nation of Israel had a choice, right? We talk about free will. We talk about choices all the time in Judaism and, you know, in larger, in Christianity and in Messianic Judaism, certainly. We talk about choices. Well, today there's a big choice that's given right at the beginning of the Torah portion, a blessing and a curse. It's a choice that we have between a blessing and a curse. Let's read Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods that you have not known. Boy, that sounds simple, doesn't it? Right? I've got it. You got a choice to make, right or wrong, good or bad. Kind of makes sense. God was telling the people, this was God speaking to the people through Moses, the mouthpiece. God was telling them, follow me, follow my ways, live according to these ethical, moral, and godly commands. This is the choice to make. And if you do that, it will be life for you. You will have blessings in your life. You'll have fellowship with me. Because he says, remember, be holy as I'm holy. He is a holy God. In order to be in a holy God's presence, we have to be holy as he is holy. So he wants us to choose him and choose the blessing of fellowship, of relationship with him. But God was also telling the people, well, you do have a choice. If you don't follow these standards, if you choose to walk away from me, if you choose your own way, it's not going to be a blessing. Shocker, right? It's not going to be a blessing. It's going to be a curse. The curse is a separation from God. The curse is a separation from him. Now, when many people read these verses, here's the thing about these verses, and I'm basically going to be talking my whole message on these three verses, right? We're going to be branching out into other scriptures, but we got to really get this, because when people read verses like this in the Bible, they have a number of different reactions. Number one, they get discouraged. They say, God, you promised if I just tried hard and followed you, if I was a good boy or girl, if I tried to live the right way, you would bless me. How come I don't see the blessings? How come all I see is problems in my life, right? People get discouraged. Many people read these verses and say, you know what? I get what you're saying here, but why is there pain and suffering then in the world? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Why does God allow innocent people to be hurt, to be killed? There's wars. You know, we read about it all the time in the news. There's innocent people that are dying, persecuted in many ways. Then we say things like, people say things like, well, why do innocent people, why do innocent children have to get sick and die, right? This is the thing. Many people read scriptures like this and they simply don't see the reality of the blessing in the world. They don't see the reality of the blessing in their lives. And what do? They feel then a disconnect between them and God. They feel that God is somehow telling them a lie, or he's not fulfilling the promises. And so what do? They lose faith because God isn't relevant in their lives. So they go off and they find those things that they can have faith in that are going to be relevant to them, that are speaking to them. And we know that the world is going after all sorts of things out there that are not him. And one of the real legitimate reasons, and we have to be honest about this, is because they feel that God isn't relevant, or they feel that he's not fulfilling his promise when he says, I'll bless you, just be good. And so they're good, and they don't get the blessing. He doesn't do what he's promised. So this is a big issue. This is a big criticism of the Lord from people. So we're going to talk about this today. What's the truth? The truth, the total and complete 100% truth, is that God's word is true, right? That's the truth. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm going to give you time to go there because you're going to go to Psalm 119, which is the largest psalm in the whole, I think it's the largest chapter in the whole Bible. You're going to go all the way to verse 160. So I'm going to give you time to get to there to your Bible or to scroll in your tablet or whatever. Psalm 119, 160 tells us, many other scriptures tell us, God's word is true, and because it's true, you and I can rely on it. We can rely on it. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. This is something you and I can hold on to. And we're going to talk about this. Why then do I not see the blessings? That's what we're going to be talking about today. We need to read the word. We need to read the words of the word. We need to read what it says about the Lord. And we need to read it in proper context. You know, everybody could take a verse out of the Bible and they can misappropriate it. And they can read it out of context and say, well, look, this is what God says. He's a cruel God. Or look, this is what happened. You know, and they take all this weird stuff out of these things out of context and make all these weird things about God, telling the world who he is or who they think he is. But God is who he says he is, and he said his word is truth. So let's explore that today. God's word is trustworthy and good. It is a curse for those. We have a curse if we walk away from God and his word, and there is a blessing if we follow his word. So let's talk about that. Hebrews chapter 11, let's go right there. You know, whenever we begin a discussion on anything in the Bible, it's always good to go back to one simple word that I believe, and I hope you believe, identifies us with God, identifies Judaism, because Judaism has always been about this, and it identifies our life in Messiah. And that one word is faith. Faith. It's all about faith. We talk a lot about laws and commandments, but they have to be done through faith. There has to be a life lived through faith. If it's not through faith, it doesn't work. That was the case back in the Torah. That was the case with the prophets and the kings of Israel throughout Israel's history. And that is the case for you and I today as followers of Yeshua. We're going to go to the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. Faith is the reason, or lack of faith is the reason, people are not following God today. They don't believe God. They don't believe his word, so then they go after and they chase other things in the world that they could put their faith in. The problem is all those things fade away, but the word of God never fades away. The Lord is there. We always have to begin with faith. Our hope is all based on faith. We believe in the one true God who we can't see. We can't see him. If you've seen God before, more power to you. Amen. I know there have been people that have had visions, that have had dreams, that have had occurrences where Yeshua just appears to them. Now, that's not happened to me, but I know it's happened to people. I've talked to people before about it. But most of the time, you and I can't see God. He is an invisible God. And that's because we need to have faith in order to see him. But here's the thing. Why have idols been so enticing for people over history? Why? I mean, we had idols back in the old days, right, with the little wooden statues. We have idols today, celebrities, all these things. There's idols throughout the world just as there ever was. Why are idols so popular? The real reason I think idols are so popular is because you can make an idol, you can see an idol, and you can then worship an idol. That's the reason why they're so popular. That it doesn't take any faith to believe in an idol and worship an idol. It's right there. You can just look at it and believe in it, right? So it's not so easy to believe something that's not there. Something that's not there. People think if I can see something, I can verify, you know, science and all that. But seeing something doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it good. It doesn't make it worthy of our praise or our worship. The definition of faith is seeing without believing. It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Let's go there. You know, throughout the Bible, not just the New Testament, throughout the Bible, there is an emphasis on faith. The people of old, you know, in the Torah, they had to believe. When they were being chased by Pharaoh in the chariots, you know, it's said in Jewish folklore that the first person that was stepping into that water that was parted, they had to step in when the water was still there. They had to step in faith. Then there's other traditions that say they had to walk into the water until it was up to here and they were about to drown, and then the waters parted. But regardless, faith is there throughout the Bible. We have to have faith. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. What seems right to you and I, based on what we can see with our minds, is idol worship, basically. Things that we can see. There's a way that seems right to us inherently, but we cannot rely on that. Why? Because that way leads to death. So there's got to be another way to look at things, not based on just our simple logic of, well, I can see it, I must need to believe it. We need to look at the world differently. And this goes along with this whole idea of the blessing and the curse and understanding the context of what God is saying. We need to look at the world differently than just with our physical eyes. That's the first point today. We need to see things, you and I need to see things with spiritual eyes, not physical eyes. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 17 and 18. When Yeshua was teaching his disciples, frequently they didn't get it. Why didn't they get it? Because they were looking with physical eyes. They were looking with a physical or with a logic rather than a spiritual understanding. Now, once he was cautioning them, you know, about the bread of the Pharisees, the bread of the Jewish leadership, and he says this to them, Mark 8, 17 and 18. And Yeshua, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Because they didn't have physical bread, and he said, I'll give you bread. Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? So they're looking and they're like, what do you mean? We're looking, there's no bread here. I can't see the bread. So I can't believe that there's, you know, bread there. And he's saying, you're looking at it all wrong. You're looking at it in the physical. You have to look at it in the spiritual. Our spiritual eyes are connected with our hearts, spiritually speaking. Hardened hearts see the physical only, right? You can think of friends, family even, people in your sphere of life that see the world with hardened eyes. They can only see through the physical. They might even mock you because you believe in an unseen God. Hardened hearts see the physical only. Softened hearts, sensitive hearts to the Lord and to His Word, see in the spiritual. We have to practice seeing things in the spiritual. They have to look, we have to look beyond just what we can see physically. They don't look beyond what they can see physically. When we start to see in the spiritual, the Bible instructs us, this is the key here, when we start to see in the spiritual, what happens is there's a veil, the spiritual veil, that is lifted from our eyes. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is, I'm going to be reading from verses 15 through 18. So there's a veil, a spiritual veil that is on us when we look at things with hardened hearts in the physical. And that veil is taken off when we start understanding things from the spiritual realm and when we start understanding things through the lens and the eyes of Yeshua. 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 18. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. Okay? Don't believe the truth of what you can see. Believe the truth of what God is telling you through His Word. So the first step in understanding God is understanding His Word and seeing it with spiritual eyes instead of physical eyes. Now, go to the book of Habakkuk. I'll give you a few minutes. You may have to look in your table of contents. It's a minor prophet, Habakkuk. This is a great scripture because I think this really speaks to what a lot of people are going through. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Habakkuk was one of these prophets that was lamenting about the problems going on in the world. Habakkuk 1, 2 through 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. That's 2021, isn't it? That's like, man, looking out there, it's in vivid color for us, what's going on. But you know what? He wrote these words. God wrote these words through Habakkuk, had him write it down thousands of years ago. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? But this resonates with me. I hope it resonates with you today. As a believer, we can have this resonate for us. But you know what? A lot of non-believers out there that are struggling to understand God's word, this resonates for them too. So it resonates with a lot of people that are doubting God. You know, the prophet is saying here, Lord, why? Why do the wicked go unpunished? Why do good people have so many problems? Why were three godly men thrown into a fiery furnace for doing nothing wrong? Why was Daniel, who was simply worshiping God, thrown into a den full of lions? Doesn't make sense. I thought there'd be blessings if I followed God. Okay? You know, if we read through the Bible, we understand and we don't see things in a physical way. Because if we read through the Bible, we see those examples that I just pointed out about Daniel, his three friends that went to the fiery furnace, and we understand that they were doing everything right and still bad things happened to them. So the blessing can't be about the physical that's going on right now. People like to simplify it and think it has to be, but it's not. Why were Abraham and Sarah, a truly righteous couple, barren? Why couldn't they have kids for years and years and years? And why don't we see the blessings when we're just trying to do good? Well, really, if you think about it, there's also one word that answers that. It's a small word, and that word is sin. Sin is the reason why we don't just walk out and birds are chirping and lion is laying with lamb and all this stuff is great, you know, in our lives. Sin is the reason in this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's go there. We've got to understand the context of where we're living today, what world we're living in. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Ouch, right? That's ouch scriptures. But it's true, right? Because remember, all of his words are truth. So let's start understanding that. Because of sin, we have things like this. Because of sin, trespasses and sins. So two things come out with these verses, a couple of things. Number one, the world overall walks in sin. We got to know that. That's a fact. Number two, the world overall is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. I wonder who that is. That's the devil. That's Hasatan. That's the enemy. Number two, point number two today. You and I must recognize that we live in a fallen world. If we don't get that fact, we're going to simply look at Scripture and misapply it, misunderstand it, and then go off in all these crazy directions with or without God or the version of God that people make. But when we properly understand Scripture, then we can know, well, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where a lion cannot lay down with lamb, or a little lamb is going to get eaten, right? That's how the world works today. We must recognize that we live in a fallen world. Because we live in a fallen world, a world that does not, that is not the Garden of Eden, a world that isn't paradise, a world that doesn't operate under God's instruction, right? Because we live in that world, sin is abounding. And we cannot look and say, well, where is God? Because we have chosen to walk away from God and allow all the sin. I'm talking about mankind. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Just a couple of chapters after the Garden of Eden, we, humanity, mankind, finds ourselves right here. A few verses, a few chapters after rejecting God and choosing our own path, here's what happens. Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was the case way back when, Genesis chapter 6. This is the case today, 2021, in the history of the world. People do what they want. People believe what they want. People do what they want. There's like 7 billion versions of God out there because people think, well, God is this, I think. Or God is this. I feel that God is this. We can't base our lives based on what we feel. If I base my life on what I feel, I would be believing one thing one day and another thing another day when I felt in a different way or in a different mood or whatever. We can't live our lives based on how we feel or based on what seems right or looks right in the physical. Our lives should be based on God's standards, His word, not ours. So why is there pain and suffering? Why do the innocent get hurt and the guilty go unpunished? Because this world has rejected God and His ways. When you choose to walk away from Adonai, there is a natural curse placed upon you. Why? Because God is the source of life. He created us. He created this world. If you're connected with the source of life, there's going to be blessing. There's going to be life. You're going to sustain life. If you choose to separate yourself from the source of all life, you can't sustain your life as it is. Sin, sickness, pandemic viruses, hate for your neighbor. This world is full of all of this because we've separated ourselves from God. Deuteronomy 11, 28. Let's go there again. These are the part of the verses that we read at the beginning, talking about the curse section here. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods that you have not known. So God is the source of life. He will sustain you. He will be there for you. He will give you life. And principally, Yeshua, the Messiah, is the one who gives us life. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Now, you may have read these verses before, but read it in the context of God, the Messiah, as the life giver, as the sustainer of your life. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Yeshua. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In order that the world might be saved through him. So what we have in the world all around us is an external, is the physical, is the effects of not following God, of walking away from God. when we look at scriptures that tell us we're going to be blessed if we just do good, we can't look at the sin in the world. We can't look at the separation in the world. We can't look at the external. We have to internalize it. We have to internalize it. There is no peace apart from God. But you're not going to walk outside in the midst of a world that's rejected God and find peace there. Where are we going to find peace? Right in here. We have to internalize the word, because externally it's not there just yet. We have to internalize the word. That's point number three today in our message. You and I have to internalize the word of God, the words of God. They have to penetrate us. They have to get into our heart. And that relationship with God, that eternal connection, guess what? Nobody can take it from you. I don't care if you're in the midst of a war zone. I don't care if there's problems, sin, sickness, the worst country to live in the world, the worst situation or war to live through. Nobody can take your faith from you. Nobody can take that internalization of God inside of you. We have to internalize the word. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Great scriptures here. Romans chapter 8 is just a great chapter in general. Actually, all the book of Romans is. But Romans 8, 38 and 39 speaks to us of this. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Amen. You could take that to the bank, right? You can take that one with you. That is the promise. The Lord promises us, no matter how chaotic in this world things get, inside of us, you can have a different take. You can have eternal peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Love this scripture. This is really a great scripture to memorize. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, let me stop there. Why does it surpass all understanding? Because out there, you don't see it. Out there, it's idol worship. Out there, it's looking at things in the physical. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. The blessing spoke about in our verse today, text verse today, the blessing will be internal for you and I right now. Soon enough, it'll be external, right? We read about that when Yeshua returns, when we have peace all over the world. We're not there yet. Rest for our soul, peace in our hearts, knowledge and reliance that we're right with our Creator. What greater peace can we have besides that? That's great. When everything, you ever seen those commercials where somebody's just eating like a Klondike bar, right? And like things are falling around them, and they're just like eating their Klondike, or it's a Snickers bar maybe, I don't know what the commercial is. That's how we are with the Lord. We're just hanging out. We're just enjoying what the Lord has for us. Things could be falling apart around us, but we are right with our God. Nothing else matters. You can't control the world. Newsflash, you can't control the world. People want to. You can't control other people. Boy, I wish sometimes I could control other people, but you can't. I can't. But what we can control is the decisions we make, is the beliefs that are inside of our heart, is what we take in and what we hold dear. You and I have a choice. It's a choice of a blessing or it's a choice of a curse today. One more scripture. Go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Love this scripture. Children of Israel, ready to go into the land. Their new leader, Joshua, is reminding them, guess what, everybody? We have a choice. Blessing and curse. The same ones we read in Deuteronomy 11. Joshua is basically reiterating that for them in Joshua 24:15, and he's reiterating it to you and I today. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what anybody else is doing, Joshua was saying. Let's serve the Lord. I don't care what you see from the Canaanites, what you see from the Hittites. I don't care what Egypt's doing. Follow God. And what can we say today? Don't worry about what so-and-so is doing out there in the world. Don't worry about what the news is reporting. Don't worry about what all the people around you are doing. Focus on your relationship with God. Internalize that word, and guess what? We will have blessing. Blessing of knowing the Lord in a personal way. It's right there for us. Blessing if we turn to Him, but a curse if we walk away from Him. So the question is, where are we in our relationship with God today? You have to ask yourself that honestly. Have you gotten a little bit frazzled because the world's creeping into your life? Well, today's the day to reset. Today's the day to say, I'm not going to let that garbage in. Of course we got to live in the world. Of course I got to read the news. Of course I've got to go out there and, you know, do things. Go to the grocery store. Live my life. Talk to people. Of course you have to do that. But what you take in here, you have a choice. Guard that heart, protect that heart, and put in here the life-giving words, not the words of curse. We have a choice to take in the words of blessing today. So my challenge to you, my encouragement to you, is take in the blessings that God has for you and He has for me right now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You because You give us a choice. We have free choice. You're not twisting our arm. You're not making us. God, You allow us. You allow us to walk away from You. But You also allow us to come to You and to not be hindered. No matter what is going on in the world, we can make that choice of blessing. We can make that choice of following You, of walking with You, Lord God. Lord, I know that it's tough and it seems like it's getting just darker and darker in the world. But Lord, let us shine the light of Yeshua. Fill us with Your peace. Help us to be so just blessed as we walk around that people say to us, why? Why do you feel that way? Look at what's going on around you. We can say, it's because I have the assurance. It's because I have the peace that passes all understanding. It's because I have Yeshua. And that's an open door, Lord, for us to share that faith with others. I pray, Lord God, that You would drop the veil from our friends and our family, that You would drop the veil of our Jewish people, that they would see You, Yeshua. We pray, Lord God, that You would draw us closer to You today, increase our faith, even though we can't see You, and help us to internalize that word and have that wonderful relationship with You despite and no matter what is going on in the world around us. We thank You, God, and I just pray that You draw people to You, that You reveal and convict things for people, and that they would realize that You died for their sins, Yeshua, and that they could just open up to You and trust You, and they can have that relationship with You. We thank You, God, and we praise You. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, we pray, amen and amen. Let's all stand as we close our